Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Connect and Convert, the Sales Accelerator podcast, where small business owners get insider tips to growing their sales faster than ever. This is Dennis Collins here, but you know, my partner, hey, Leah, are you there?
I am here, and it's spring in Canada. We're here. I'm excited.
It's spring in Canada. Thankfully, it's spring in Canada. No more snow, huh?
I didn't say that.
Okay. Okay. I know. It's a little premature, right? Anyway, we had such a lovely interview with one of our fellow Wizard of Ad partners, Jack Heald, in our last episode, and he graciously has agreed to do another episode. Most people turn us down on that. But Jack, he said, let's do it. Let's go for it. So, hey, I'm glad he's game, but let me reintroduce a true gentleman in the top hat. And I hope you were listening to the last episode to hear the story of the hat, because we're not going to tell it again. Jack Heald, welcome back.
Thank you, guys. It's good to be here.
Good to see you. We were in a very lovely discussion about podcasting and the podcast that you are producing and co-hosting. What is it? Get off my operating table. Huh? I mean, wow.
Stay off my operating table.
If you didn't hear about that, you need to stay off the, yeah, not get off
my operating table. That's a different podcast entirely.
Yeah. Maybe. Hey, I have that domain, so I'll sell you that one. Anyways, stay off my operating table. If you don't know what that is, you're going to have to go back to the last episode with Jack Heald, and you're going to have to listen to that because it is absolutely fascinating what he's doing. But today, in today's session, today's episode, we want to talk about something that's near and dear to his heart as well. It's still a matter of the heart. Get the pun? But this is about something that Jack does. It's called Cult Your Brand. That, Jack, needs a little explanation, I'm sure.
Cult Your Brand is the name of my company. It is also the name of yet another podcast that I produce. The name came out of an experience I had 32 years ago. I lost my two best friends to a cult. We had spent 2 years arguing about whether or not we should join the cult. And they did, and I didn't. And I was just baffled. Why did they do this? What was this all about? And it set me down a road of studying why people make the kinds of decisions they make. And it ultimately led me to a little book called The True Believer by Eric Hoffer. And that kind of unlocked the whole realm of influence and persuasion for me. And that's what led me ultimately to what I'm doing today, doing branding and marketing consulting and writing marketing materials for people and running podcasts. It's all about influence and persuasion.
Doing it from a place of being positive instead of using it. It's not a force for, it doesn't have to be a force for evil or for coercion. It can be a force for information, education, and explanation.
Yeah. I discovered Robert Cialdini a little ways down the road after I'd started this.
I've never heard of that guy.
Right. Leah does not practice sarcasm. She's a professional.
Yeah, that's a nerd alert.
Now, I discovered in my study.
She has fine-tuned it, Jack.
I discovered that there's basically five different techniques that cults use to create fanatical loyalty in their followers. But these literally are just tools. They are neither good nor evil. They're just simply things that you can do. And how you choose to use them is what makes it either good or evil. And there's a little bit of overlap with Cialdini's work and a lot that doesn't overlap. But that's where the name came from. I realized that actually, long before I'd ever heard of the Wizard of Ads, I realized that what most businesses need is loyal customers. And one of the things that was fascinating to me was that these two friends of mine who joined this cult, the cult made promises, just like a business makes promises. You give me money, I'll give you this product or service, and it will provide this benefit. The cult made promises, and then they didn't deliver. But my friends stayed, and that's what really baffled me, was where does this loyalty come from? What is this all about, that even after you've bought and paid for the product and it fails to do what they told you it would do, you keep going back? What's that all about? And that's what led me down the road, and that's how I uncovered these five particular tools, and that's why people continue to come back. It really has very little to do with all the stuff we were told back in the, remember Tom Peters in Search of Excellence? There was this big push for
Search of Excellence. Yes, yes.
As it turns out, people are loyal to people. I know that doesn't sound like groundbreaking news, but
that's a true connection, people, right? Between people. That's how
people are not loyal to machines. People are not loyal to processes. People are not loyal to programs. People are not loyal to abstractions. People are loyal to people. And I can go on and on.
Dare I even ask, what is one of the five things that you learned? Just one.
This one is wildly powerful and tremendously unused by most businesses, a face. There's tons of research that indicates that human beings create emotional connections with faces. We respond emotionally. The researchers put probes and sensors on bodies and then run all kinds of images past them. Human brains respond to faces in a way they don't respond to anything else. One of the reasons that I wear this hat professionally is it makes me recognizable. But if I had the hat without my face, it would not have the same measurable neurochemical trigger in your brain that happens when you see a face, when you see two eyes and a nose or mouth. So I encourage all my clients visually, whatever your visual representation of your company is, make sure it's got a face always.
And people will try and make a logo into a face. Like, even if it's not, even if you don't have someone who's smiling, even if you don't have it obvious, you will create a face. And I can't remember what that is called, but we have that need because we want to connect to something. So if you're looking at a random wall and there's a whole bunch of different designs on it, you will create a face. It could drive some people absolutely insane. And I know that's not what you're talking about, Jack, but still, isn't that fascinating?
Our brains are wired for pattern recognition. And one of the patterns that seems to be very deep is recognizing faces. And the fact that so many businesses do not connect a face to their business just staggers me. It's such an easy win. It's so simple. You got to do it.
So, Jack, a question. I know in last episode we talked at some length about your love of writing radio ads, okay? And that is kind of a passion of yours along with your music. How do you put a face on a radio ad?
You can't. This is strictly a visual phenomenon. Radio is audio. The neurochemical responses come through what we see. So that's not something you can do with radio. There are other things you can do with radio, but most
I'm going to challenge you a little bit on that, Jack.
Face
I'm going to challenge you a little bit because I've been doing the same thing for a bit. And that's where theater of the mind comes in. So do you remember that first grade teacher of yours? That one that was always bugging you about stuff? Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you guys are both remembering a different teacher. It may be your first grade teacher. It may be someone else's. It may be someone. But by me I spoke her into your head and you saw her face. So the theater of the mind gives you the ability to do that. Now, it's not going to be, strictly speaking, exactly what you're trying to portray. And I know where you're going, because this is where everything else that a company is doing comes into play. So you've got to have your, if you're doing outdoor, if you're on transit, if you're doing printer or online, you can have an actual face that people will remember when they hear your ad. But you can't discount the theater of the mind for me to be able to remind you of that first gal that you kissed, and both of you remember exactly what she looked like and whether you closed your eyes. I don't. You guys have a visual, and you're both.
That's pretty specific there, Leah. Yeah.
So anyways, you were saying, Jack.
All of us have, yeah.
I'm sorry. Where are we now?
I've got you guys both speechless here.
Oh, I'm not speechless. Okay. I'm just trying to be polite.
I was going to just follow up with, kind of add on to what Leah said. Back in my radio days, I think it was CBS that produced the radio dramas that Nerd Alert, right? Sorry. But the radio dramas, and they were on at night. I can't remember the name of it. But
I used to listen to one called, oh, God, I loved that.
This wasn't that.
It was kind of a horror.
This was probably in the 90s.
No. This would have been.
You're not making art bells.
This was something that was fairly recent. When I was running radio stations down in Miami, we actually carried that on one of our stations at night. And man, that was tune in radio for me. Because you talk about painting pictures, like Leah was saying. Man. I mean, it reminded you, I didn't live in the 30s and 40s when radio dramas were all we had, all they had. I wasn't there. But
we're not, you're serving that up to us, Dennis, but we're not taking a shot at that.
Very smart, Leah. Very wise.
I'm going to be out of a podcast pretty quick.
Anyway. No, I wouldn't do that. I might. I don't know. But we always used to kid talk about faces on radio when we'd hire a new radio personality. And the joke was, yeah, you have a face for radio. Yeah. They didn't like that. There are some people that have a face for radio, for sure. So this whole interest in cult. And I think you make a great point. We're both followers of Cialdini, and Cialdini makes it very clear that, in fact, his first book, Influence, was written not so much for marketing people, not so much for the advertising and marketing people, but it was written to warn the public, the general public, about the dangers of unethical uses of the principles of influence. That's why he wrote it. And of course, marketing people grabbed it and said, wait a minute, this can be used for the good as well. This is good stuff. And so that's how, back in the 80s, that's how his whole reputation got started. But it was not intended to be a marketing book. It was a consumer book to warn consumers about the unethical use of influence. And unfortunately, that's what the cults do.
So Wizard of Ads, that's a connection that we all have. Jack, how did you come to be connected to Wizard of Ads as a partner?
Oh my God, it's such a weird story. I got a call from my old buddy Brad Whittington in February 2016. And he said, hey, you know that business school that Daniel's the vice chancellor of, Daniel's his son. I said, yeah. He said, Daniel's got a seat in this class that he's allowed to give away if he wants. It's yours if you want it. Do you want to come? Wow. He said, you can stay with me. I said, cool, because I hadn't seen Brad and Millie in a while. And I thought, I knew nothing about Wizard Academy. I knew nothing about any of this. But I booked a flight to Austin and went to the Magical Worlds. And holy smokes, it was a life-changing experience.
One. Yeah.
That's it was a life-changing experience for me. And I believe Leah's son was actually in the same class with me, which is just, it's so weird.
Oh, there's no coincidences. I love these kinds of stories. And if you wrote that in a made-for-TV movie, people would turn it off and go, that doesn't make any sense.
But and what makes it weirder, I'd been subscribing to Roy Williams' Monday Morning Memo for 11 years at that point. I'd stumbled onto the Monday Morning Memo back in 2005. And I'd been, reading it religiously for 11 years. And somehow never connected any of the dots. And so one of my oldest friends is the father of the guy who's now the chancellor. And it's just such a weird, it was a changing experience for me. I came out of that class determined to intentionally focus on developing my intuition, and have found out that I've spent most of my life operating in the wrong side of my brain, frankly. Once I gave into the fact that I'm fundamentally an irrational, creative human being, everything got better.
Wow. Isn't that an interesting story? Well, every story you tell is interesting. That's the problem. We could just go on and on with stories.
This connection is why we're so proud to be sponsored by thewizardofads.org, because you talk about the Monday Morning Memo, the classes, the people, the academy itself, those people like Daniel, and he's now chancellor. There's so much to learn. There's so many possibilities. Even the people that we've been able to interview as partners. Jack, we're going to have to get you back on once you get your book written, because I'm sure there's a book in there somewhere.
Yeah, it's about probably 80,000 words.
Listen to that. Really,
and completely disorganized at the moment.
We get the first interview. That is our claim to fame. We like to interview our authors.
That's a legitimate request.
Notice how he said nothing there, Dennis. He said nothing.
Boy, no pressure, Jack. No pressure.
I got to get the book finished.
As always, it's just a pleasure. Yeah, for sure. It's been a sheer pleasure hearing your stories. We could go on and on, but again, unfortunately, time has elapsed for this edition of Connect and Convert. I hope that if you missed the first session with Jack Heald, you'll go back and pick that up in another episode. And the stories are fascinating. And this gentleman is somebody worth listening to. Listen on his, I renamed his other podcast, Get Off My Operating Table and Stay Off My Operating Table, and Culture Brand. Those are two places you can hear Jack live and in person. And we appreciate your time as always. Thank you for coming back a second time. We'll see you at the next Wizard of Ads partner meeting.
Absolutely.
Lovely to talk with you guys.
That's all for this session of Connect and Convert. It's Leah and Dennis saying bye for now. We'll see you next week.